be reading from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. God's word for our consideration this Palm Sunday. Please be seated. This is a celebration Sunday, isn't it? Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is something that we celebrate once a year in every Christian church all over this world. Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. Do you know what Holy Week is? Holy Week should be a set apart week for special worship and adoration of Jesus Christ. Around the world, the eyes and hearts of devoted Christ followers are focused day by day on those events that occurred during the last week that Jesus lived on this earth, before his death and resurrection. And his royal entry into Jerusalem that day was just the beginning. But his triumphant resurrection from the tomb that we'll celebrate next Sunday is going to bring this week again to a grand conclusion. You know, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem was not so much of a triumph if you would compare it to the triumphal entry of Roman kings or Caesars in the day of Christ, or even when a victorious Roman general would make an entrance into a city. For example, when Caesar made a triumphal possession into a city, he was preceded not by people waving palm branches, but by members of the Roman Senate. This august body was followed by trumpeters and flute players, captives, spoils of war, and even oxen for the pagan sacrifices. And the captives of war, particularly other kings or chieftains, were chained together and driven before Caesar. Last in the procession would be the Roman Caesar, the king, attired in purple and gold of his majesty, and he would carry the scepter of Rome in his hand. What a vivid contrast to the royal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, that holy city that day. While earthly kings would ride on gaudily draped and decorated war horses, Jesus rode on the foal of a donkey on which the garments of his admirers had been placed. And while earthly kings were praised by political leaders, our Lord was praised instead by the common people, by the peasants, and even the children. Our Lord was given the praise and acclamation of a king. And in strange contrast to the earlier behavior of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, He receives and he accepts this acclaim. He didn't deny on Palm Sunday that he was entering Jerusalem to be a king. Why did Jesus change his attitude toward the people that wanted to make him a king? You have to remember that Jesus' royal entry that day was deliberate. It was a part of the presentation of his messiahship to all of the people, including his disciples, and he also wanted to make a statement to the leaders of Israel. Jesus knew before his arrival in Jerusalem what was going to take place. And his every action during that week we call Holy Week was according to God's plan and purpose for him. Prior arrangements had been made for the foal of a donkey upon which he was to ride. And did you catch in the scripture there was even a secret password? The Lord needs them. This password had been given to the owner of the donkey and her colt. The royal entry of Jesus was indeed a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 had written, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey." On a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Did you know that messianic prophecy in the Old Testament identified the coming Messiah according to four major themes? First, the coming Messiah was portrayed as a prophet who would come with an authentic word from the Lord. Second, the coming Messiah was pictured as both a priest who would offer a perfect sacrifice on behalf of man and as that sacrifice. In other words, the Messiah would bring God down to the people and he would also lift up people to God. Third, the Messiah was also pictured as a suffering servant who was going to die a substitutionary death on behalf of sinners. This is particularly the theme that you find in Isaiah chapter 53. And fourth, obviously, the Messiah in the Old Testament was portrayed as a coming king. You know, as the centuries went by and the Israelites didn't find their Messiah coming to them, they still look forward to the coming of an ideal king. And in times of national crisis, the people earnestly longed for a king that was going to deliver them, especially when they were under foreign oppression. And this expectation was particularly uttermost in the minds of many Jewish people during the early years of the first century. And there were times, remember, early in Jesus' ministry, that he had to suppress the efforts into forcing him prematurely into a position where he would assume kingship. Not only was Jesus' royal entry into Jerusalem a fulfillment of prophecy, but I'd like you to think of it as an acted out parable. Some of our Lord's parables were verbal. He told stories by which he communicated great truths. Others were pantomimes in which he was communicating with his actions. And such was the case with his royal entry. First of all, Jesus intentionally entered the city to offer himself as a king. Remember Matthew chapter 2:2 said that Jesus was born to be a king. In Matthew 2:11, Jesus was given the reverence due to a king. Matthew 2:16, Jesus was feared by that rival king. Remember how jealous Herod was. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, we know that Jesus was offered again prematurely all the kingdoms of the world by Satan, who claimed to have enough authority to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. In John 6:15, Jesus' disciples tried to force him to assert his royalty and his kingship. They wanted him to reestablish the kingdom of David. They wanted to throw off the dominion of Rome. At this point, the disciples weren't very spiritual, were they? Instead, they were very political. They would have been satisfied for Jesus to make himself a king, rebel against the Romans, and Jesus to have a kingdom of great military power and material glory. But by his royal entry, remember, Jesus chose the time to enter Jerusalem. By his royal entry, he manifested his kingship and he demonstrated the authority of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 21:12, as the divine king, he would cleanse the temple. He would drive out the money changers who were cheating the people. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, you can compare with Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. In Jesus' desire to restore the temple to a divine purpose. And also we read in our scripture passage how during Holy Week, yes, Jesus healed the blind, he healed the lame, exercising complete authority over disease. You know, by Jesus coming into Jerusalem like he did, he was following the tradition of King David and other kings of Israel. He was deliberately accepting the acclaim of the crowd. He did not rebuke their adoration. Second reason that Jesus entered the city the way he did was to reveal the nature of what his kingship would be. You know, there was a really interesting verse in the Bible that I think many people have often misinterpreted. And the verse goes like this. On one occasion, Jesus denied that he had come in order to bring peace on the earth. Isn't that strange? I thought Jesus said he was the Prince of Peace. Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." What a puzzling passage. But in Jesus' life and in Jesus' ministry, there were certain situations he refused to tolerate. Jesus never condoned hypocrisy. Jesus never condoned injustice. Jesus never condoned unkindness. He would never give his approval to any kind of oppression, whether it was social, political, or spiritual. Jesus came into the world to call people to an undivided loyalty to the plan and will of God for each one of their lives. Jesus recognized, as we should, that we as individuals do not have the power to set things straight without creating division, without creating strife in some areas. Unfortunately, many people still believe the only way by which some conditions in society can be changed is through violent means. Jesus came not to create some type of a peace of stagnation and indifference. Jesus didn't come to condone the status quo of the first century. Jesus didn't come to earth to give his stamp or seal of approval to the way life was. Instead, he challenged the status quo. And by the still will that was completely surrendered to God, Jesus challenged the corrupt religious and social system of his day. In that sense, wasn't Jesus challenging what was called business as usual? Jesus was riding on the foal of a donkey. He wasn't riding on a war horse. I think he was revealing his kingship was based on love and grace instead of force and power. He came as a different kind of a king so that people could have peace with God. He came as a king so that people could have peace as they would discover both the way and the power to live according to God's will. And Jesus came as a king that day so that people of goodwill could enjoy peace with each other. As a king, Jesus devoted himself to what? Being bossy like Ima, who was in here a little while ago? No, Jesus wasn't bossy. Instead, he devoted himself to a life of humble, self-giving service to others. There's a third aspect of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem as king. He came to Jerusalem not to take the lives of the enemies of the Jewish people, but he came to give his life for others. Did you know that basically the last 6 months of Jesus' ministry were spent in relative seclusion with his disciples? He gave himself to the task of teaching them things concerning his coming kingdom. He tried to reveal to the disciples that his kingdom was going to be based on love. His kingdom was going to be inward. His kingdom was going to be spiritual. And with persistent effort, he sought to instill within them the concept of the kingdom of God as heaven's rule in the hearts of people. Do you think his disciples understood this? No. This was a strange idea to them. They still were picturing this nationalistic king that was going to lead some type of a revolt so they could have freedom from Roman rule. Yes, Jesus offered himself to Israel as the king who would rule by the principle of love. But what did the Jewish people do by and large? They rejected him. They rejected the peace that Jesus could have brought, and instead, they chose destruction. It was this proclamation of Jesus' kingship as Messiah that contributed to what? To his condemnation and his crucifixion. In John 18:33, Pilate inquired concerning Jesus whether Jesus really was the King of the Jews. And it was this charge that Pilate used as the basis for yielding to the request of the power-hungry Jewish authorities that Jesus was going to be put to death. Do you remember what the superscription above the cross said? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The Christ who was crucified on the cross, yes, he was born to be a king. Jesus, unlike any other person, lived a sinless life. Jesus spoke with the sincere authority of a king. And yet, there was something intensely and uniquely royal about the manner that Jesus died on that cross. It was as king over death, so that he could arise triumphant and victorious on a resurrection day. And it was with kingdom authority, with the authority of a king, that after Jesus' resurrection, he commissioned his disciples to evangelize the world. By the way, starting this Wednesday night, we're going to offer special sessions for a number of Wednesday nights on how to share your faith. Personal evangelism. You know, the Great Commission wasn't just for the disciples, was it? It was for us as well. And Jesus Christ as King promised that one day he's going to come back to this earth. He's going to return. And he's not going to return as a king, but he's going to return as the King of Kings. I think every Palm Sunday should serve for each one of us to ask ourselves several questions. Have we made Jesus king of our lives? Do we allow Jesus to control our wills? How willing are we to recognize his kingship? How willing are we to invite Jesus, not just invite him, but ask him to have complete control over every priority that we make in our lives? You know, I think it would be very wise for us to make Jesus king over our interpersonal relationships. And if we want to know the peace and the power that comes from God, I think we need to dedicate our lives to make sure that Jesus Christ is king over every aspect of our lives 24/7. Why not ask the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never done so, to be not only your personal Savior, not only your Lord, but also your King? I would invite you to stand for our hymn of invitation, number 310. And did you notice the first words? King of my life, I crown thee now. Hymn number 310.